I'd invite you to open in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6.
Isaiah chapter 6, we've been studying through this chapter and noticing the imperative of world missions. I anticipate concluding the study this morning. This is such an important chapter in the Word of God, such an important study. Because when I gave it the title World Missions, I didn't have necessarily in mind across the ocean, although that's of course a part of it. But this is just simply God letting us know how important He views it that we share the gospel with everybody we can, with everyone that we know, and send someone else to tell the gospel to everyone that we can't tell it to, so that everybody in the world is evangelized. We discussed just briefly in Sunday school this morning about those people that are in areas that have never heard the gospel. The fact is they're still lost and they'll still wind up in hell. And it won't be their fault. It's our fault. Their blood is on our hands if we're not getting the gospel to them. And that's, I think, the message of Isaiah chapter 6 in a nutshell, that God has given us, those who know Him, the imperative of getting the gospel to everyone on this planet. Isaiah chapter 6, stand if you would, out of respect to the Word of God as we read a few verses here, beginning in verse number 9, down through the end of the chapter. And he said, this is God speaking, and he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." Then said I, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." Father, as we consider these verses this morning, we need your help. Bless us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Just by way of quick review, we've seen four imperatives already in this chapter, verses 1 through 4. The imperative to get the gospel to every lost person on the planet because of the glory of God. We have a glorious God that we should be not just needful of telling about, but desirous and enthusiastic to tell the world that there is such a God who is not only holy, but is also love. We saw, secondly, the biblical imperative for world missions is the sinfulness of even good men. All men need the message. There is not a single man, woman, or child on the earth at any given time that does not need the gospel message. There never has been, never will be. If we understood the sinfulness of even good men, we'd understand that imperative of getting the gospel to everyone. The third imperative was simply the redemption available in Christ. And what a wonderful, marvelous redemption, plan of redemption God has given to us. We don't have to do anything to get it. Christ paid it all. All we need to do is receive it and apply it in our own lives, in our own hearts. The fourth imperative we saw last week is the plan of God to use men. The plan of God to use men. He doesn't dispatch angels. He doesn't do the task himself. But he says, "I want you to do it. I want you to do it." As we pick it up in verse 9 and 10, we see our fifth imperative. And that's simply the hardness of man's heart. The hardness of man's heart. As God is telling Isaiah after he volunteers for the task and says, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I'll go. I'll be the one to tell the message. I'll be the one you can send." Then God tells him that he wants Isaiah to go. Now notice he doesn't say, "Stay, and they'll come to you." It's not like Noah when he built that ark and God brought those animals two by two and then they were placed on that ark. And all Moses had to do was build the ark. God said, "I need you to leave where you are and go to where they are, because they're not going to come on their own. And if we don't go to them, they're not going to come to us, and they'll never hear of God, and they'll never be saved." And so this, we have an imperative, is simply to go with the gospel message. That's what missions is all about. Whether God sends us to Brazil, whether He sends us to South Africa, or whether He sends us to Cambodia, whatever country it may be, or if He sends us to our neighbor next door, or if He sends us to that little one in the bedroom down the hall, God has called us all to go and take that gospel message. And so He tells Isaiah, go. Now the response isn't necessarily, I believe, what Isaiah was expecting to hear. Isaiah, seeing God in all of His holiness, all of His glory, understanding the sinfulness of man, in his mind it's only logical that when men are confronted with such truths that they would immediately fall prostrate before this God and acknowledge Him as Savior. And God says, that's not what you're going to find. That's not at all what you're going to find. He says, I want you to go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. Now, is it God's will that they don't understand? Certainly not. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. He goes on further and says, see ye indeed and perceive not. Certainly it's not God's will that they don't understand, that they don't see it. It's not God's will that they don't get saved. He didn't make the gospel too difficult to understand. It's the simplest message in the world. Jesus died for our sins, and all you've got to do is receive it. A little 3.5-year-old can understand that. That's how old Stephen was when he got saved. God doesn't make it a difficult thing. So why is it so hard? Why is it that they hear without understanding? Why is it they see without perceiving? Where is the problem? It's not with the message, but it's in the heart of man. The sinfulness and rebellious attitude that men harbor. The hardness of men's heart. That's our fifth imperative, is the hardness of men's hearts. They're not going to come to Christ on their own. And even when we're obedient and we go, they're still, for the most part, are going to reject the grace of God, the salvation, the redemption being offered to them. They're going to reject that God is so holy that He's going to judge their sin. Somehow they're holding out hopes that when it's all said and done, God's going to look over their sin. He's going to wink at their sin. That all of a sudden He's going to change His mind and say, hey, what you did isn't all that bad. Certainly it's not as bad as what Hitler did. Certainly it's not as bad as what so-and-so did. It's not as bad as that serial killer. And so you'll be all right. You only lied and drank and smoked and cussed. That's all you did, so we'll just overlook all those things. And they're going for a rude awakening when they find out that God has never retracted a single commandment and that God will not change His mind. And God will not give them a second chance in eternity. The problem isn't the message. The problem is the hardness of men's hearts. But what is Isaiah's directive? Notice what it says in verse 10. Make the heart of this people, what's that next word? Fat. Now what is God trying to say? Is He saying feed them with fattening foods so that they grow large? Certainly, of course, He's not saying that. This is an expression of speech. What God is trying to tell Isaiah, as He's commissioning Isaiah and telling Isaiah what to do, He's saying, I want you to saturate this people with the Word of God. To saturate them with the Word of God. We have people today that will say, in churches, will say, well, my city is hardened to the gospel because they've heard it so many times. You know what God says to that? He doesn't coddle us and say, I know, therefore you're without excuse. You don't have to go. Those messages that take the gospel to every creature and they're going to all the world, it doesn't involve your community because I know they've heard it so many times that they're just hardened to it. God doesn't say that. He says, you just keep preaching, you keep sharing, you keep witnessing, you just saturate them so until their heart is just overflowing with it, till they can't take it anymore, they can't receive anymore, they can't stand it anymore. He says, you just keep preaching. You just don't stop. You saturate the land with the Word of God. Bucyrus is certainly not saturated with the Word of God. You talk to people out there, they don't have a clue what the gospel message is. How many churches in Bucyrus are knocking on doors telling their inhabitants of that house how to be saved? There may be two. I know this one is. There's another church that I know knocks on doors, although sometimes they go to Crestline and sometimes they go to Marion. So at the most, there's two churches in this whole city knocking on doors, telling people how to get saved. Does that sound like saturation to you? That's not saturation at all. Are we obedient to God's directive, His imperative for world missions as a church? As Christian people in the city of Bucyrus? God has never retracted these commands. He's just restated them over and over and over again throughout the Bible and throughout the New Testament. This is still our directive today. But men have hard hearts. And we are so easily discouraged. Maybe there was a time, maybe there was a day where you tried to share the gospel and you received a response that was very unpleasant. And so you decided, you just right then and there said, I'm never doing this again. If that's the way they're going to treat me when I'm trying to show some love, when I'm trying to show some compassion, when I'm just trying to do what's right, and they're responding this way, I'm not going to do it anymore. It's just not worth it. Let them suffer and burn in hell for eternity. Don't let that be your attitude. God says, make their hearts fat. Saturate them with the Word of God. But most won't hear. Most won't listen. Most won't convert and be healed. That word convert is important in this passage. It's important in any message of salvation. You see, there is no salvation without sin first. And there is no salvation without repentance. We have an awful lot of people today preaching a gospel without repentance, preaching a gospel without hell, preaching a gospel without sin. If you can call it a gospel, it's not a gospel, it's another gospel. In the book of Galatians, God tells us that's not a gospel at all. There is no other gospel. God says there must be a change. There must be a change. Are you living a changed life today? If you're not living a changed life, don't wonder when you share the gospel and they respect or react very negatively towards you when you do so. You need to let them know that I have been converted, that I repented of my sins, that's what I used to be, but now this is what I am by the grace of God. Not that I'm any better than I used to be, not that I'm better than you are, but I do know I'm going to heaven. I do have my reservation on that street of gold. And you need one too. We need to let them know they need to change their life. They need to deal with the sin in their lives. And if they don't deal with the sin in their life, they're never going to get saved. But God says, make the opportunity available. Saturate the world with the gospel message. Even though the majority will reject the message, just keep on doing it. Now Isaiah, just as all the other prophets in the Scriptures, just a man like you and me. We tend to elevate them, put them way up on a pedestal and say, man, they just didn't feel things the same way I feel things. Their mind didn't work the same way my mind works. Well, I want to suggest to you, Isaiah's works just like yours and mine. Isaiah sees God in all of His glory, and in his enthusiasm, he says, here am I, send me. So God then sends him. He says, go, and here's what's going to happen. They're not going to listen. They're going to reject it. You know the next words out of Isaiah's mouth? You can read them in the next verse here. In verse number 11, he says, Lord, how long? Lord, how long? Now he doesn't say, God, if that's what they're going to do, I'm not going. God, I've changed my mind. If I can't be a successful preacher of a big church, if I can't win X amount of souls every week, or every time I go out witnessing, then I'm not going to go at all. You know, that's what we as Christians, that's what so many preachers do. There's a lot of preachers that won't even consider candidating at a small church. God doesn't want us to put those restrictions. And the commitment, Lord, here am I, send me. There's no restrictions. That's the person God's looking for, no restrictions. But Isaiah is saying, I'll still go, God. But how long do I have to go? How long do I have to endure? How long do I have to stand fast? How long do I have to face such adversity? Well, God gives him an answer. I don't think it's the answer he was looking forward to, but God gives him an answer. And that answer gives us our sixth imperative for world missions. And that imperative is just simply the impending judgment. The impending judgment. Because God's answer is, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Now God is foretelling to Isaiah the Assyrian and then the Babylonian captivities. Because of Israel's sin, God was bringing judgment and was going to wipe out the nation. They were going into captivity. That judgment was impending. And God told Isaiah, you just keep preaching until then. Now Assyria came in the lifetime of Isaiah, but not Babylon. And essentially what God is saying, he says, look, I just want you to do it until your dying breath. And when you die, I'm going to raise somebody else up who will then carry the torch, carry the message, who will have the same enthusiasm, have the same commitment that you have, and they'll take the gospel out to the last soul on earth. God gave him a time limit or a time span that exceeded his lifetime. You know, if we were to ask God, God, how long do I need to keep sharing the gospel? Do I share it until everybody in our community has heard it at least once? Do I share it until everyone in the world has heard it at least once? God says all the above plus. You just keep sharing. You just keep witnessing. You just keep preaching. You just keep sending missionaries until their heart be made fat, until the whole world is saturated with the sound of the gospel. We know that not everyone yet has heard. We know that the world certainly is not saturated. Certain small pockets perhaps are saturated. Bucyrus, Ohio is not one of them. We have a lot of churches. We have a lot of religion in our town. But our town is not saturated with the Word of God. I was talking to someone recently who doesn't attend church here but had listened to some of my sermons. And I hear this from time to time from people that don't come to church here, that go somewhere else. And they seem to all make a similar comment, that your sermons are full of Scripture. That makes me wonder, because I don't think they really, I wouldn't qualify them that way. I'd like to use more Scripture than I do. But that really makes me wonder, what are they hearing in these other churches? If my sermons are all loaded down and top-heavy with Scripture. Bucyrus is not saturated with the Word of God. Certainly not with the gospel. Even though we're religious churches on just about every other corner, God says we're not saturated. So we just need to keep on preaching the gospel. Keep on sharing the gospel. Judgment is coming. God is not overlooking the sin of our country. God is not looking over the sin in our world. It's not just the United States of America that's becoming corrupt and wicked and immoral. But we find this is a world mindset. And if we are not careful, and you watch too much television and read too many news magazines and newspapers, you're going to adopt that same mindset, that same worldview that the world has, and you're going to begin to be corrupt morally. God's going to judge these sins. God's going to judge them. The judgment isn't that far off. And we need to get a grasp that judgment is impending. That will cause us to go out and tell the world and send missionaries. We talked about that in Sunday school as well. Because we were talking about the tribulation martyrs and how the world will be different in that time for the Christian. Because the Christians will know how long they have, and they're not going to be concerned so much about their job, their livelihood, or their cars and their homes. They're going to have one thing on their mind, and that Jesus is coming back in so many days. And they're going to tell everybody they know and try to win everybody they see for Christ. And we need to adopt a little bit of that attitude ourselves. We need to grab a sense of this impending judgment that if they don't get saved, they'll all suffer in hell. But it's not all bad news in Isaiah's commission. Verse 13 gives us our final, our seventh imperative, and that's simply the promise of fruit. The promise of fruit. He says, yet in it shall be a tenth. So 90% will be destroyed in the judgment. 10% will survive or live through it. But even that 10%, he says they'll return, again referring to the captivities. We know that some returned, but he says they'll be eaten. They'll be judged once again. But then he makes reference to this teal tree and the oak tree, whose substance is in them. You know the crazy thing about trees? You can cut them off as a stump, and you know what happens a lot of times? If they get enough water, they'll just start growing again. And God says that's what's going to happen. He says, basically what he's saying is there's going to be a promise of a remnant that even though the majority of them will reject it, will reject the gospel message, there's going to be some who will hear it, some who will be saved. And so we go and we tell 100 so that the 101st one might get saved. We'll tell 1,000 so that 1,001st one might get saved. We send missionaries around the world. And Adoniram Judson, the first missionary from the United States of America, went 7 years before he saw his first convert. Can you imagine if we supported a missionary in our culture and he didn't have a single convert in 7 years? He'd be losing support like flies run into a bug zapper and flying, and just everyone would be falling. But you know there's a vibrant church in Burma because of the work of Adoniram Judson. He was faithful. Multitudes came to Christ. But it took 7 years to win his first one. 7 years. We go and we send, because God has promised that though the majority reject, there will be some who will listen. Abby was telling me this morning that when her and Adrian were knocking on doors yesterday, they went to one house where they didn't have a very pleasant experience. And not that they were overly rude, but they just weren't interested, and that's fine. Not everyone is. But instead of giving up and going home and packing in their bags and getting a skirt and say, well, forget that, it doesn't work anymore, the very next house. The guy was glad to hear. He said, I was thinking about going to church. I don't go anywhere, but I was thinking. Now, he's not here today. Just remember to pray. We don't know his name. But you just pray, because then it becomes a spiritual battleground. But God has promised a remnant. Will we be faithful ourselves in going? And will we be faithful in sending? The New Testament counterpart to Isaiah chapter 6 is Matthew chapter 28. You should know these verses. Verses 19 and 20 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway. Notice the time element. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Unto the end of the world. That's not talking about to the furthest extent every place on earth. It's talking about as long as this world is in existence, we're to be going as a church, as individuals. Will you be faithful to the call of God and the biblical imperative of world missions? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the commandments that are in it that are so clear. But Father, we know that sometimes they're not so easy to obey. Father, may we have willing hearts and willing minds. Father, may we be as Isaiah was, willing to go for as long as you had him to go. One of the longest prophetic careers of any man we know of in the Scriptures, with so little fruit to show for his efforts. Father, may we be found even half as faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.